How many appreciate what the Lord has done in your life? How many know that out of gratitude for what God has done for us, we should be giving ourselves back to Him? To offer our bodies back to Him as what? Living sacrifices. To be a vessel for God. How many want to be a vessel for the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. I do. Amen. And I'm going to be. Because the Lord said, if you come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. Amen. He's looking for available, yielded vessels. That would be you and I. Amen. How many know that? He should be our daily bread. Amen. The Lord is really, when we talk about, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. He says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Amen. So we are satisfied in Him who is our bread. Hallelujah. So guys, you can't light up the world if you ain't lit. Amen. So we've got to be lit before we can light somebody else up. And that means that we have to be open to receive of His presence. Amen. And that's why we worship. That's why we sing. That's why we're, you know, crying out for the Lord for more. Amen. Because it's not you and I who are able to change the world. Amen. It's Jesus through vessels that are yielded. Amen. That the job gets done. Amen. We got to get over this personality cult thing. Amen. And people follow after personalities. Amen. We need to be really seeking the Lord. Amen. And follow after Jesus. Hallelujah. And thank God and celebrate our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen. In the way that God has gifted each one uniquely, we can celebrate that without jealousy. Amen. Hallelujah. Because we're not in a competition here. Right? We need to work together as a team. The devil wants to divide us. Revive us again, Lord. Fill our hearts with Your love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Lord, let Your fire fall. Holy Father, let Your fire fall upon Your people, Your church. Holy Spirit, I rely upon You now. Thank You for helping. Thank You, Jesus. Title of the message is Revive Us Again. Who knew? Hosea 6:1. Come and let us return to the Lord. For He is torn, but He will heal us. He has stricken, but He will bind us up. There's a whole sermon in that. America has been on the fence for many years. America has been lukewarm, complacent, apathetic towards the things of God. We've become idolatrous. We've made idols out of possessions and things and people. And we've forsaken the fountain of living waters, the Lord, who has blessed us in the very beginning. We are so blessed because we were a nation that was founded upon the principles of the Word of God. Amen. And the guidance of the Holy Spirit as our forefathers sought the direction of the Lord. And as they put together our Constitution and our Bill of Rights and all these documents that are, you know, so precious and that the enemy is trying to destroy and undermine. But it's because we have turned away that the door has been opened up for the enemy to slip in. And while others slept, the enemy's been very busy. And while the church has been asleep, much of the church, not all, God is waking up His church today because He has torn, but He will heal us. He has stricken, the Lord has stricken, but He will bind us up. The Lord always looks forward, amen, to the finished product. He sees you and I in that finished state. And so God is taking us through the steps of preparation to get us to where He wants us to be eventually. And how many would agree with me that it always goes better when you cooperate with the Lord? Life is much better when you're really on fire for Jesus and willing to say yes every time. Because He knows better every time. How many want revival? How many know what revival is? Well, we got a little clip there. We've had a little bit of an outpouring this morning. Amen. God is with us. Amen. God is resurrecting. God is lifting us up. Amen. Out of the place where we were into a new place, a better place. How many know that God is into new beginnings? God doesn't want you wallowing in your sorrows or wallowing in your past or wallowing in your regrets. Amen. He wants you to get over that. Get beyond that. Look to him and let him take you, amen, where he's going. Because where he's going is always better than where you think you want to go. Right. Revival means to bring back or return to life. It means to awaken. If a person is flatlined, they take the paddles out, amen, and they jolt them back to life again. And sometimes God has to jolt us to get us awake. Are you hearing me? Because the Lord does speak to us as a still small voice. And he woos us and he calls us and he draws us and he invites us to come. Amen. And dine at his table to have fellowship with him. And he wants to share his heart with us. Amen. But sometimes we're not listening. And so the Lord has to speak a little louder. And if we're still not listening, he has to speak what? A little louder than that. And he'll keep getting louder until finally he has our attention. Hello, somebody. And the reason why he wants to get our attention is because he does want to bless his people. He does want you to be happy in him, but not finding satisfaction in lesser things. Because we were created for him. For fellowship with the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen? Only God can bring revival. I know so-and-so's coming. So-and-so's speaking. Are you hearing me? And God uses us. I want to get into that a little bit. How God will use us in our anointing. Amen. But Jesus must be the main attraction. And even if we're being used of God, we have to understand the source is not us, but it's him. Amen. So only God can bring revival. He's looking for vessels to flow through. Amen. Fire starters, if you will, to stir the hearts of others. So a man or woman can carry an anointing. As God has gifted you, as God has called you, as you've been born of his spirit. Amen. There is a motivational gift that you have, that you were born with. Amen. A gift of the Father. Amen. But the Bible says when Jesus ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men. And it says he's given apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Amen. These are the gifts of the Son. Certain callings, certain people are called to these assignments. Amen. But then there are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are the manifestation gifts. Amen. As the Spirit gives in any given time. Amen. It's not as I want, but as he desires. Amen. And me just cooperating with the Holy Spirit in the moment. God wants to manifest. Amen. Himself, reveal himself through his giftings, through his people. So as we're a child of God, amen, through the new birth, we have an anointing. But then there are those special times when the glory comes. Hallelujah. Where there's a sovereign move of God, a corporate move of God, where nobody's laying hands, nobody's prophesying, everybody's just taken by the Spirit of God, and people are getting healed, people are getting delivered, people are getting saved, because God is sovereignly moving on a people or even a nation or church. Amen. That's what I hunger for. I love having good church meetings, amen, but so much more that the glory of God, the Shekinah glory, even the cloud of his glory would come and rest in this place, amen. That would rest in the Northwest, hallelujah. I'm saying, Lord, arrest this governor, amen, and bring him to his knees, humble this man that he might be saved, amen, he and his family, hallelujah. And I'm praying the same thing, that the fear of God will come upon every judge, every lawyer, every politician, amen, every mayor, every governor across this nation. Lord, let the fear of God. One of the things that's outstanding at this revival in Asbury is there's the holiness of God that's arresting people who they think, oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. When you get that kind of glory coming in, you're going to realize that, oh, God, I can't get low enough. Amen. And I've had tastes of that before. And we've had some great moves of God here in times and seasons of that. But God has more, and God wants to release, amen, more upon us, upon his people in this city and in the Northwest and in this nation. I believe it. And we want to be those people that are saying, Lord, I'm here. I'll be in line, amen, waiting on you, amen, until that day comes, amen. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to look back. I'm not get back into complacency or apathy, amen. I say, God, keep us alive. Resuscitate us. Revive us again. Amen. You know, you cannot be love to the world. You cannot be an expression of God's love unless you first receive his love. We love him because he first loved us. We were designed, our bodies were designed to host God. Isn't that right? Our soul. And so therefore, we must yield and allow God to possess, fully possess these vessels. Amen? So that his glory will be seen on his people. And then people will be attracted to the Lord through us. Is that making sense? You can't be salt in the world if you're not first salted. Amen? You can't be light in the world unless you're first lit. So we have to realize my deficiency, my lack. And the reason why there are so many problems, even in the body of Christ, is because there's a lack of the Holy Spirit. He's the answer for everything, guys. God is really the answer, the solution. Amen. God wants you in perfect peace. God does not want you tormented in your mind. God does not want you depressed. God wants you free. Amen. From those things. As a matter of fact, God wants you filled with his joy. But we've got to have a hunger. Amen. And a thirst for him. And that's why it's so important that we get rid of those things that the Holy Spirit directs us to get rid of. Amen? Because what happens is the enemy offers you cheap counterfeits and other things, amen, to try to take you away from the Lord. Called idols. The devil wants to be the one to satisfy you. If you don't believe that, just look at the halftime show at the moving right along here. Have we ever thought we'd get to a place where it's that blatant and in your face? But it means that the enemy knows his time is short. And God is on the throne. And he will be glorified in all the earth. Hallelujah. He's coming to reign. Hallelujah. Get ready. Revival is when God sovereignly moves upon a people or a nation. Some of these are some characteristics of revival. I've kind of changed up the wording a little bit. This is from a guy named Dr. Wilbur Smith. He said, most revivals in history occurred in a time of deep moral and spiritual darkness and national depression. He said they began with an individual or a group of people who were willing to yield themselves to God as vessels. Anybody here available? All true revivals resulted in a return to the worship of the one true God. Every true revival was in agreement with God's word. Somebody say amen. Every revival witnessed a forsaking of occult practices, the destruction of occult-related paraphernalia and idols. It baffles me how many Christians have these things in their homes and are not even aware of it because of a lack of discernment, because there's a lack of Holy Spirit. You cannot see except by the light of Christ in you, amen. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that your eyes, your spiritual eyes are opened and you can see clearly. So basically anything relating to shamanism, Satanism, witchcraft, fortune telling, New Age, all these things when revival comes, people become so convicted by the Holy Spirit that they began to look for ways to be free from these things. As the early church was in revival, and they begin to call out and say, what must we do to be saved? The awe of God, the fear of God came upon them. The awesome awareness of His holiness and how sinful that we are apart from Him. And they begin to cry out, Lord, what must I do? Every true revival results in a separation from sin. Somebody say amen. It's not a bunch of hooting and hollering, amen, only. And a restoration of joy and gladness to the people. I like being happy. And you know, Jesus makes me happy. Anybody here beside me happy in Jesus today? If you're not, God wants you to be. And you can be. Hallelujah. Sometimes the world, you know, will take us down this path of, well, if you just do this, you'll be happy. If you just own this, you'll be happy. If you can just get that promotion or that bigger house or that nicer car or this or that, you'll be happy. And when you get that, you say, was that it? I must need something else to be happy. So then that people get into covetousness. And they're always never having enough because they're trying to satisfy themselves with something that won't. Because we were designed for the Lord. And people that don't live in the Lord, amen, and abide in the Lord are living dysfunctionally. Because that's who we are, that we were created for Him and for His pleasure. How many know that normal is revival for the church? The church should be living an awakened lifestyle. Amen. Not just in church, amen, but every day. Normal for the church is holy living. Salvation, healing, deliverance, signs, wonders, miracles. This is normal Christianity. Mark 16, 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So let me just share a little bit out of verse 18 here before you go picking up serpents. I'm just not that spiritual. I don't have enough faith to do that, guys. In fact, that's crazy. Amen. He's not talking about going around tempting God with rattlesnakes in some church service somewhere. Amen. Out in the holler. All right. He's talking about the enemy. Amen. Remember, it was Pharaoh's magicians that cast down their rods. Amen. And they became serpents because Moses cast his rod down. But what happened is Moses' snake ate their snakes. Amen. So the power of God, amen, always overcomes the power of the enemy. Because everything comes from God in the first place. They're just using the power illegally because it's not under the authority of God. It's called witchcraft. A.W. Tozier said, revival is essentially a manifestation of God. When you're in revival, things change. Hearts change. People are liberated. People are set free. Demons leave. Amen. People are healed. When revival comes, there are transformations of hearts and lives. Revival comes at a cost. And this is the thing. Not everyone is willing to pay a cost for revival. But desperation will cause people to draw near to God and seek Him for revival. America, if we're not awake yet, I pray that we wake up soon. Because it's only going to get harder. Amen. If the church will realize the day, the hour we're living in, and the opportunity that God is giving us right now, where we can come with confidence into the very throne of grace and receive everything we have need of. If the church in America would revive and return to their first love, America would be transformed. Amen. Don't wait on your politicians to do it. You got to go higher than that. You got to go to the God of the politician. Amen. Hopefully it's the God is Yahweh. Amen. The Most High God. But we've got to pray for God's intervention in our families, in our lives, in our communities, amen, in this nation. And we need to keep our hand to the plow. Don't look back. Keep pressing on, amen. Keep believing, because eventually what you sow in the Holy Spirit will return. Don't give up. Don't let the devil talk you out of your miracle, of your breakthrough, because that's what he does. He's a discourager. So guys, if you're discouraged today, let me just tell you this. It's not from God. God does not come to discourage. He comes to encourage. He comes to build. He comes to edify. He comes to, amen, to make pure, to make holy a people, a bride for him. Revival comes at a cost. Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. This is the sin nature. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, reap everlasting life. And let us, here it is, not grow weary while doing good. You know, we need each other. I need you to be strong for me, and I'll be strong for you. Amen. But we need to help hold each other up and help each other out. Hold the hands of each other up. Amen. In this thing, so that we encourage one another towards love and good works. Amen. Not to give up. Because sometimes we're in this mentality of instant fix, instant gratification. I go through the drive-through window, you know, and get what I want right away. And we don't know how to wait on anything anymore. But anything that's worth anything is worth waiting for, such as a marriage and purity before the marriage. Some Christians have become so complacent that they're unwilling to make spiritual investment to see revival come to their church or city. I'm going to read it again. Some Christians have become so complacent that they're unwilling to make the spiritual investment to see revival come to their church or city. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to help us. How many know the Holy Spirit gives you the energy, the strength, the ability to even pray effectively? That's why we must be baptized with the Holy Spirit, immersed in the Holy Spirit, who will quicken us, amen? And something that might have been a chore in myself has now become a delight. Because I'm no longer functioning in my flesh, but I'm in this Holy Spirit, amen? And he quickens me and strengthens me, enables me, amen, to pray effectively and to pray according to the will of the Father. And he'll give me the ability to continue in this race, amen? Because we can't do this without him. You said it already, brother. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know something? I've experienced this, but true revival will cause division. It'll even divide churches. It will be a line of demarcation between mere professors and possessors of the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing me? So, yeah, if we... You know, when God begins to move, things get messy. And we have to understand that the enemy is going to act up during any authentic move of God. Right? Because he doesn't like it. So he tries to throw a wrench in everything, you know. But we got to look beyond that and say, well, what is God doing? That's where I'm going. That's what I'm focusing on. Amen. What's the fruit of the revival? What's the fruit of this? Are people getting saved? Amen. Is there a contrition of sin? Are people becoming realize that they're lost and they're in need of God's mercy? Amen. That's a sign of God's holiness. That's a sign of true revival. Any kind of revival without repentance isn't revival at all. We were commanded. Somebody say commanded. To be filled with the Spirit. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Some people think it's just optional. Well, pick and choose what I want to do, and I don't like this, and I don't like that, and I don't like speaking in tongues, and I don't like, you know. It's like Bible says to be filled and to covet earnestly, right? Desire earnestly the gifts. Amen? And the most important thing of all is that everything we do will be done in love. Amen? But we should pray that we may prophesy, that we may be a vessel that God will speak through. Amen? Spontaneously even. Of course, he doesn't do anything spontaneously. It's always according to his plan. But we have to be in the moment with God. We have to walk in the moment with God. And we can do nothing apart from Jesus. That's why we must, and we're commanded, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's no excuse for any of God's children to not be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just saying. How many know that God wouldn't command you to do something and not provide you the grace to receive that? It gets quiet. I don't know why. Maybe I get to get a little louder, or maybe a little. I'll bring it down a little bit. We'll just bring it down a little whisper. We need to stay on fire for God. And we need to encourage one another to be on fire for God. Because, guys, in order to be that witness in this world, we need the power of God. We don't need another dry, dusty sermon. Amen. We need Holy Ghost inspired words. Amen. That come from the heart of God. Ephesians 5:18, and do not what? Be drunk with wine. She's already on it. All kinds of problems result from a lack of the Holy Spirit's influence in our lives. All kinds of problems. It means we have a lack of oil. How many know the Lord is coming for those who have oil in their lamps? If you don't have oil in your lamps, you're not going. As a matter of fact, those who are unwise and those who are not prepared when the bridegroom returns, which is Jesus Christ, amen, those are the ones that are going to begin to stand and knock on the door and say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. They will not go in to the marriage supper. Jesus is coming. Be ready. Wake up. Now is the time. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be prepared to meet your Maker. The early church, once again, it was a church in revival. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly. What did they do? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul. What does that mean? Revival. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were in love with each other. Amen. They were a family and they took care of each other, sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. You know, that time may be coming again. Verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple. What did they do? Continuing daily with one accord in the temple. And breaking bread from house to house, both. They met corporately and they met, amen, in groups. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. And having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who did it? The Lord added daily to the church those who were being saved. Do we want to see people saved? Yes. It requires the presence of God. Amen. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. And it also requires a willing vessel, you and I, to say, Lord, here am I. Use me. Fill me up. I want to overflow. Amen. I don't want a little dab will do you, Christian, right? You heard that? A dippity-doo Christian. Some of you remember that commercial, right? But we want to go into the deep end and be immersed in the glory of God. Hallelujah. So that's just like this brother. He said he came out of there. He was wrecked by God. And he said, man, I'm going back to light up the night. You know what I'm saying? So when we are filled with the glory of God, hallelujah, we will automatically be an influence. You're going to turn the light on him and wherever you go, because God's working in your life. Selfish ambition. Here's a problem. Laziness, prayerlessness, an unwillingness to forsake our sin. These are all hindrances to genuine revival. You can't have it both ways. Guys, we've got to get to the place where we're not just coming to God because we want something or need something. We're coming to God because we want God and we need God. It's about Him and just not what He'll do for me, but that I might know Him. For this is eternal life, that we may know Him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. Either we return to life or we're going to perish. Either you will wake up and return to the Lord or you will perish. God wants all of His people to repent and return to Him with their whole heart. Psalms 119, verse 10, I'll repeat this from last week. David said, with my whole heart, I sought You. Oh, let me not wander from Your commandments. You know, when we are close to God, when we are in love with God, when we are, amen, in a relationship with God, we will love the commandments of God. We will appreciate the Word of God. We will love and cherish and receive the Word of God. When your heart is right with God, you will love the Word of God. You will love the Bible. Somebody say amen. Amen. So if you don't love the Word, there's a problem. Because Jesus is the Word. You can't separate Jesus from the Word. Amen. He is the Word. And it's through what is written that we come to know the living Word, Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon said, a drop of genuine repentance is more precious than a torrent of weeping. How many know, guys, that you can be contrite, you can be remorseful, but unrepentant? How many know that people can come down and feel sorry about themselves or a situation they're in, or even, you know, but not necessarily be repentant? Because repentance means that I've changed my mind. I have turned my life around. I'm no longer living for myself and for this sinful world. Amen. I am now living for Jesus Christ. I have returned to the author and the finisher of my faith. I have come to return to my God. Amen. So true repentance, amen, is a sign of real, authentic revival. Contrition alone, amen, just being sorry does not necessarily mean a person is repentant. You got to have the godly kind of sorrow that's produced by the Spirit of the Lord, amen, that will bring a person from that place of being apathetic and complacent to a place where they are wrecked in His presence and they are aware that they are sinful and that God is holy and they must get their heart right with God. God will do that. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. How many know Romans 2:4 says it's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance? How many know that it was God's goodness for you on the cross when Jesus bled and died for you on that cross? Do we not owe Him our lives? Do we not owe Him everything? Should we not give our lives back to Him now to live for His glory the rest of our days? Should we open ourselves up to Him and allow Him to fill our lives, amen, completely, so that we overflow for Jesus, amen? And not only are we going to be happy inside, amen, others around us are going to know something's going on. What happened to you? Oh, I met Jesus. Hallelujah. How did they know that? They said to, was it Peter and John and disciples, they said, these are ignorant and unlearned fishermen. But look what they were doing. Look at the works and the wonders they were doing. But they took note of them because they had been with Jesus. All I need is You. See, we just need Jesus. And everything else will flow out of His heart. It happens that way. Are you hungry for Him? You want more? Drink. Come and drink. Get over yourself. Get over your self-consciousness. You know, get over the opinions of people. Well, what do my friends think? Who cares? They didn't die on the cross for you. They didn't shed their blood for you. Amen? And they're not going to be able to save your soul. You better return to the only one that can. while you have an opportunity, because that door will close someday. Are you hearing me today? So I hope you're hearing today. Don't think that you got all this time. One of these days I'll get right with God. You may not have another day. We don't know. True repentance, hear this, leads to a relationship with God. Every time. If it's an authentic revival, it'll bring you, amen, into repentance and into relationship. And then out of relationship will become discipleship. Out of that relationship, then you will become a willing vessel and you will walk with Jesus. Are you hearing me? And in the expression of his life, that's how it works. In the days of Joshua, the nation of Israel experienced a national awakening. They had a momentary awakening. It lasted for a short time. And in Judges chapter 2, verse 10, it says, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done. For Israel. Guys, revival requires a sacrifice of our time. Amen. To pray and seek the Lord. Real repentance shows itself in action. It's not just saying, I'm sorry, God. It's I'm sorry enough that I'm going to start obeying you now. I'm going to start living for you now. I'm going to glorify you now. Are you hearing me, somebody? Because America has had times of revival and seasons and different pockets and places throughout our history. Amen. Even really with the Puritans in the very beginning, amen, of this great nation, they were in revival as they came, you know, to looking for a place to worship God in freedom. Amen. And there's been times in Kentucky and other places throughout the nation. You know, of course, we all know about the Jesus movement, right? And how God has been moving in these revivals, the charismatic awakening and these things that God has been moving in times. Amen. In the past, but God, I believe, is beginning again to begin to pour out his spirit in our time. Praise God for that. And let it sweep across the entire nation, Lord. But this generation that we're in right now is just like this generation that afterwards they did not what? Know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. We have now have a generation that are completely illiterate to the word of God. They don't know what has happened in the past. They don't know what God says. They don't have any truth because they're being shut down. They're not being allowed, amen, in some cases. Or unfortunately, too many churches are not preaching the truth anymore. Come on, they're just trying to please people. But the only thing that's going to help people, the only thing that's going to save people is the truth. If you see somebody drowning and you have a lifesaver, throw that thing. Grab a hold of Jesus. He's the only one that can save you. And in verse 13, it says they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtoreth. This is exactly what's happening today. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So he delivered them into the hands of plunderers. Do we not see that? Who despoiled them and he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Whenever there's compromise to sin, you make yourself vulnerable, amen, for the enemy. And you won't be able to stand against the enemy you're in bed with. Samson had fallen into compromise. And the complacency. And he began to live in sin. And he didn't realize that the anointing had left him until it was too late. But we also see the mercy of God, that as Samson had called on the Lord one more time, the Lord had shown him mercy. Amen. Why couldn't they stand before their enemies? Because they turned away from the Lord in their hearts. And I can tell you, guys, I know in my own life it can happen. You can go through all the motions. You can do all the church stuff. You can know all Christianese, amen, and speak it fluently and say, amen, brother, praise the Lord, and all those things. And yet your heart can be distant from God. When your heart is close to the Lord, you're in love with God. nothing else matters. I don't want anything else. I'm not just about asking God for stuff and things. He knows you have need of things. But what we need is Jesus. What we need is Him. He needs to be the center of our life. And your heart will burn, amen, with the glory of God. You'll be satisfied in Him. You'll have strength. You'll have joy. You'll have contentment. You'll have a supernatural boldness that the Spirit will impart to you so that you're not going to bow down to peer pressure and be so concerned about what your friends think. How many know a true friend is not going to drag you away from God? A true friend will lead you to Jesus. Baal, who was Baal? Baal was the god of the weather, you know, and nature for the Canaanites. So he is essentially an agricultural god. And agriculture to them meant prosperity, you know, good crops and flocks. So in a sense, Baal was the god of personal wealth. And that's what we see today is the pursuit of personal wealth above anything else. And the things of God have taken a back row. And some people have nothing to do with God. They're just about getting wealth, having temporal comforts and things of this world. Are you hearing me? And this is why America is sick, because we've turned away from the fountain of living waters, the one who has prospered us and blessed us because we once walked with Him. And now we're just running after things. And those things don't satisfy. So we want more things and bigger things and shinier things, hoping that that somehow is going to make me happy. And many esteem greater riches those things that are temporal than advancing the kingdom of God. And guys, if you have a tendency to be greedy, can I suggest to you that giving is a good way to protect yourself from greed? Amen. How many know that God is a lover, so God is a giver? It says they also, in verse 13, serve the Ashtoreths. And that was a Canaanite goddess of love, sex, right? And men and women were committing adultery with these priestesses, these temple prostitutes. So the bottom line was Ashtoreth was sex, love, and romance. How many know that sex is healthy and it's wholesome and it's beautiful in the context of a marriage between a man and a woman? That's the way God designed it, that we would procreate. Hello. But do you see the parallel today, money and sex? The halftime. I don't watch it, but I've seen some clips of it. Just enough to say, man, that's disgusting. Men and women are committing adultery with these goddesses of sex. They're watching these things. They're lusting after these women that are throwing their clothes off, amen, and parading themselves before all those, you know, those eyes. Amen. For what? Because the enemy's drawing them into his trap. He's going to get them into pornography and other things. And Jesus said, if you look upon a woman with lust in your heart, lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. So we need to repent. We need to make a covenant with our eyes, like David said. I'm not going to put any wicked thing, amen, before my eyes. I'm not going to look upon anything. Amen. That's what got him into trouble before, didn't it? And so, guys, we got to guard. Ladies, too, we got to guard ourselves against these things because they're traps. They look. How many know sin is attractive? But in the end, it's death. But Jesus came that we might have life and we might have complete fulfillment in Him. An abundant life. Amen. And I know money is not evil. It's the love of money. That's the root of all evil. Out of the midst of this, there's a growing hunger for something real and truly satisfying. There's an authentic move of God in our generation. So even though we see all this stuff happening, we're watching our nation crumble before our eyes. And it's because of sin. And it's because the church has turned away. in their heart from God. You see, we can go through the motions, like I said, and we can go to church and do these things. But where's our heart at? Well, you can find out where somebody's heart is by what they value, what they treasure. A person who values and treasures the Lord more than anything else, their heart's in a good place. They love Him more than anything. As a matter of fact, you're supposed to love Jesus more than anyone. Love Him more. See, a lot of times it's because people love this or this person more than God that they get into trouble. Why? Because you've made an idol out of that person or out of that thing. And that's why we need to topple the idols in our hearts, and we need to repent of these things that have come between us and God. Well, I feel closer to God on the boat on Sunday. I had a friend say that to me. Some of you have heard this before. Until his boat caught fire. Do you want to know something? He was coming to church regularly after that. You know, the Lord moves in mysterious ways. I'm not saying it was a sin for him. I don't know. But I think God wanted him in church. Listen, guys, how many know that we are supposed to be gathering together? We are commanded to gather together, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. It's right in your bulletin, as the manner of some is. How many glad that you decided to gather together today? Yeah. All right, half of you did anyway, so. But again, I want to repeat this, but most revivals occur in a time of deep moral and spiritual darkness. And that's where we're at. But there's a light dawning. It's always darkest before the dawn, and the day spring on high. Amen is visiting us. I believe it. But we have to be the people that usher it in by our prayers, and our hunger will draw the presence of God. Are you hearing me, somebody? I love to preach to people that are hungry. Amen. Because they draw it right out of you. Right? I don't like preaching to stumps. Amen. It's like just bouncing off. There's no receptivity. But a person that is hungry and open and available to receive from God, amen, they'll draw it right out of you. I love preaching to people that are hungry, amen. And I want to be hungry for God, amen. If you're hungry for God, it means you're healthy spiritually. Yeah. Praise God, there's a stirring of revival. I pray the fire of God spreads throughout our nation. Would you join with me in this? Are you willing to make the commitment to pray daily for revival, for our church, amen, for our communities, and for America? Hallelujah. Neeks, guys, God is calling every one of us to pray. Well, they're a real prayer warrior. What about you? How many know God's people all need to be prayer warriors? We all need to be in prayer. We need to be seeking the face of God. And if you love Him, you'll love being in His presence. If there's no prayer life, you can't say you love Jesus. I know I'm scoring points this morning with somebody. But am I telling the truth? Hunger draws the presence of God. Somebody say hunger draws the presence of God. Are you hungry? The presence of God revives a soul to move in the authentic love of God. When you love somebody, you'll tell them the truth. You do it with gentleness and respect. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 6, I'm almost through. Blessed are those who hunger and what? Thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. What is it going to take for a revival in our city and our nation? It's going to require God's people to return to Him with their whole heart. David said, with my whole heart, I sought you. The Lord says in Proverbs 8:17, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Psalms 119 verse 2, blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Jeremiah 29:13, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Somebody say, all your heart. This generation needs to experience a move of God. Let it begin with us as individuals that make up the corporate body of Christ. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Let's be a part of this. Hallelujah. They need to seek the Lord. We need to seek the Lord. Are we willing to pay the price for revival to happen? I hope so. God, give us the strength to not grow weary, to not lose hope, to not lose sight of where we're going and why we're here and why you saved us and why you separated us from this world, that we might represent you, that we might be an expression of your heart in this world. And without you, we can do nothing. Guys, what we need is Jesus. That's it. You need Jesus. You cannot be an expression of him without him. I want you to lift up your hands, brother. I'll talk to you afterwards, okay? We'll be able to talk afterwards. Let's lift up our hands right now to the Lord. Hallelujah. Talk to the Lord right now. Tell him, Lord, have you heard the message? Has the Lord spoken to you this morning? Some of you need to come back. You need to surrender your life to him. You need to be born again. You need to surrender your life to Jesus, the only one that can save you. And some of you this morning, you just need to recommit yourself to seek the Lord and to return to your first love, to fall in love with the Lord again, to encounter his presence, because his presence will make you hungry for more of him. So open your hearts. As you lift your hands, open your heart now. Just like you would give somebody you love a hug, I want you just to give God a hug right now and say, Jesus, I receive you. I need you. I ask you to fill my life with your holy presence. Make me hungry and thirsty for more of you. Lord, I don't want to be satisfied with less than what you have for me. Fill my life. Make me complete. Forgive me, Lord, for my apathy and my complacency. Deliver me from myself and from the enemy. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you give him praise right now? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we bless you and we praise you. Thank you, Lord.